Amanda, it's finally happening. I'm so happy to have you here on my Soulful Soundbites podcast. And for those that don't know you over here in this part of the world, on this continent, everybody meet Amanda Kate. And
Thank you.
she's a self-mastery facilitator who has transformed personal trials from surviving chronic narcissist abuse and deep-seated trauma into a beacon of hope and resilience. And I just have to just pause a moment because that's so big and so powerful and such a inspiration for so many others to realize that their trials and tribulations can truly be the invitation to step into such a powerful form of work. And I know through your deep knowledge of energy and vibration and the array of healing modalities that you've discovered over your life's work allows you to serve, for others to invite them to connect with that deeper work for them to bring forward this lifetime. So, Amanda, I'm so happy you're here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to dive in with you. It's, going to be an honor.
Yes. And while there's so many directions we could go, I thought for this conversation, we could focus on your journey from darkness to light. And while, I know it could be slippery to get deep into the low density darkness, maybe you could just start with sort of sharing some of your personal story of navigating trauma and depression and that chronic narcissist abuse in order to, find that harrowing and inspiring place that can invite all of us to find that within ourselves.
I think the really important part to start on is, people talk about the bravery to go on the journey. I had no choice. And this is what it comes down to. I think so often, in energy work, we're told to lean towards that that feels light and expansive and sets your heart on fire and is joyful and move away from what feels contractive and cold and dark and everything. But most of the time, I believe that's true. However, with some of the biggest decisions of my life, it hasn't felt big and expansive and joyful and all of that. It's been scary as hell. And that's what I really call that aligned bravery, where we know at a cellular level something has to give and something has to change. And I think that's really the platform for pretty much every trial and tribulation. It hasn't been such an easy decision as black, white, expansive, contractive. Move towards the light and move away from what feels cold. And it hasn't been that clear cut. And yet there has been this deep cellular drive to go, this cannot keep happening in my life. And I think one of the biggest things was, I guess after that main trauma of leaving the marriage, recognizing why I'd actually gotten into that kind of relationship in the first place, why I thought it was so normal to be in a narcissistic abusive relationship. It was really interesting. I still remember the moment. I was driving down one of the main roads here in Melbourne. I nearly actually had an accident because it dropped in like this massive thud physically in my body. And I went, I chose to stay. Every day I knew where that door was, and I chose not to walk out of it because I was afraid of my financial stability. I was afraid of what would happen for the children. I was afraid of, I mean, God, let's list all the fears. We'd be here for the full 20 minutes. So I'm not going to go there. Put in your own words and your own, fill in your own blanks. But there became this real knowledge of if I truly created that by my choices, and okay, I didn't know any different. But once I'd gotten far enough out of it and I realized I created that, I thought, well, what now can I create? I think there's also this misnomer when you go on this spiritual journey that it's all love and light and grace and ease and bleh, bleh, all the things. But we are still navigating a dense 3D world. Things are going to get tumultuous. You are going to feel sometimes like you lose your feet. And I can honestly say the last 2 years, I have probably had more times where I have wished I was not on this planet And I've actually asked God on more than one occasion to take me home, literally screaming at him on the floor, on my knees going, take me home. I cannot do this life anymore. What the hell are you serving me this shit up for?
Yeah.
And yet I get through it quicker. One day I actually just went to bed and had a nap for an hour and I woke up and I went, okay, I feel a bit better now, you know. There were other times it took me, you know, 24, 48 hours. It was sometimes I had to go and work with my mentor or work with another healer or something to help me move through it. Yet I've moved through it much faster, but it doesn't mean it doesn't happen. And I think that's a really important part for people to understand is you're still going to have to do life. Unless you decide to join a monastery, we've still got to navigate people cutting us off in traffic, our children not, you know, going and living their own life. How dare they? You know, our partners coming home after a crappy day and taking it out on us. Like, we still have to navigate that. Yeah. And so stuff's going to come in. So how do we handle that? And I think that's where that really deep faith and spirituality has been that anchor for me to really hold on to and to keep me going on this path. Because even in those darkest times where, I mean, the time in particular I'm thinking of, I was literally on my knees, snotty tears, screaming at God saying, take me home or make me Jesus and let me manifest shit out of thin air because I'm done. Like, it was literally heart-wrenching. I honestly thought I was not going to wake up in the morning. Yet there was also this part of me that was watching going, yeah, you know you're not done here. This is your little toddler tantrum. Keep going. This is what life is. Get used to it. And, you know, I could feel like those separate parts of me, that bigger self going, yes, darling, I know you're struggling. And, you know, just let it all out. You know, this is the toddler part. And then there was, and I'm in this, the throes of feeling raw and human and vulnerable and stripped naked. And yet there was still this part of me. And I think that's the beauty of doing this work is you can tap into that bigger part of you. You can tap into that part that is connected to the all that is desperate for being in the oneness. And not being this individual unique dot.
Yeah. And I think, you know, thank you for saying that. Cause I think that it's easy to slip into that, you know, the grace and ease and the light and love and that will take you out of, you know, all your pain. And while it could be, that's not the only way to go through it. And I think that something you said that really wanted to, that I really wanted to emphasize is there's always that door for you to move out of the darkness. And sometimes you're cycling and spiraling so much, you don't see the door. Maybe there's other times you see it, but you're like, I can't even imagine what it's like on the other side. And it's, you're scared of the door. And then there's other times you're like, okay, I'm done. I'm not going to be here anymore. I'm going to move through the door. And that this too can be cyclical, as you can be on the other side and you can experience like, okay, I have the spaciousness. I have the time to look at things differently. And you might then one day be like, oh, here I am again in the dark, and that it's a journey. And I think that, you know, that's so important to know that it's not like once you're through that door, it's, you know, rainbows and unicorns indefinitely, that, you know, it's a process.
And our problems, and the reason I like problem, let me just say, because most people shy away from that word. They like to use challenges, but challenge comes from challenging people to a duel where one person is going to die. So this is like that fight to the death of who is going to be right. So I try and move away from challenges. Problem comes from the root of it is I throw out a question to which I know there is an answer. I like that version. So that's why I talk about problems, just as a little aside. But when we face our problems, If we keep seeing the same problem again and again and again, it's like being on one of those roundabouts that you see in kids' playgrounds where they're just spinning and spinning and spinning and you're just holding on for dear life and not sure how you're going to get on or off.
And feeling like, so nauseous and sick.
And dizzy and I don't know which way's up. It's that kind of thing. But that's telling us there's a cycle here that we can break. Problems also come along so that we can evolve to the next level, so that we can see, oh, okay, I'm being faced with this challenge or this problem or this, you know, scenario. How do I want to react in this? How do I want to be in this? How can this help me grow and evolve to my next level?
Yeah, I think that is really a beautiful way of being able to say, or probably a more practical, relatable way of saying that sometimes that pain or that problem or that dizziness can be an invitation, which is sometimes hard for people to hold that. Like an invitation, yeah. I didn't invite this pain in my body. Like this, you know, how can this possibly be, you know, an invitation for clarity? So I love how you talk about, you know, that if there's a problem, there's a solution. If there's a question, there's an answer. And I wonder too, just, you know, how you've evolved in using that as a way for you to start to see the power of, you know, self-mastery and sort of that alignment and how, you know, working through that pain allowed you to arrive here of looking at, you know, your energy and vibrations and how to bring alignment towards that.
Do you know, I think it's because I have spent so long bouncing along rock bottom and finding new levels of rock bottom and climbing out of them that I can actually now say with confidence that I am a self-mastery facilitator. I can help you. Now, that doesn't mean I'm, you know, holier than thou and I don't screw things up in my life. You know, I'll give you an example from only about 2 weeks ago. I literally screamed at my partner. I was in such rage because there's been this thing bubbling on for about 12 to 15 months. I have given the way that we can solve this. I have, but nothing has been resolved. And I just lost it. Now, am I proud of it? No. Can I see why it happened? Yes. Can I understand why the anger was there? Absolutely. Did I apologize for my part in it? Yes. You know, I can see all of these conflicting things sit together in the whole and all of them are true. I can see that I completely exploded at him and it wasn't, you know, there's fault on both sides. It hasn't been handled well on both sides. Now, he has a choice whether he steps up or not. I have a choice as to what I do with it. And so this is what I kind of mean about that self-mastery. It's not sitting on a cloud, you know, in the Zen position and nothing bothers you ever again. You will fall into unresourceful behaviors. You will. The difference is, okay, so why did that behavior get to that point? What was leading up to it? What was the driver? What is that rage actually telling me? Because we know anger is just the bit that makes us feel like we're doing something. It's usually hiding something deeper, fears, boundaries that have been crossed, you know, feeling unlovable, feeling whatever it is, you know, those big, deeper feelings, feeling hurt that we don't want to feel because they're really uncomfortable. So anger gives us something to work with. And so in that, it's being able to see the whole scenario. Or obviously, we're never going to see the whole scenario because we're not God or source or infinite wisdom, but seeing as many points around that scenario as we can. If you imagine that it's the dot in the middle of the globe. And so we're trying to catch it from as many points as possible. That's what self-mastery is. So for me to go, okay, this is the part I played in this. This is how I let it go on so long. This is what I need to do to now resolve it. I understand where the rage was coming from. And so you can pull all of those pieces in and start to make more of a full puzzle. And the more we do this work, the more pieces we can add to that puzzle. And the more we can see it from different perspectives and, okay, well, you know, if I look at it from this direction, I was completely in the right. And if I look at it from this direction, holy crap, I was, you know. But being able to hold all of it as true, even though it feels so conflicting and so like it doesn't fit in the same puzzle, and going, okay, that's all there. None of it's wrong. None of it's right. It's very contrasted. You know, there's black and white, there's all sorts of different shades of gray, there's all sorts of colors. And you know what? It's all there. Can I be okay with it all being there? Can I be okay with the fact that I will still be unresourceful even 12, 13 years after I started doing this work? Can
Yeah.
I be still love that part of myself?
Right. And I think what's really important of what you're describing here of being able to hold all of that is when you can hold it, you're able to sort of step back from it and sort of detach yourself a bit from it, just momentarily, not to just escape and, you know, be out of your body, but to hold it enough to see not only where those different feelings were rooted from or what's below them at the crux of it or at the heart of it, but you also start to see the different vibration they each carry. And I think that's so important because sometimes, you know, vibration is hard for someone to grasp. And I thought you described it really well and thought that would be a nice way to sort of dovetail how feelings can carry different vibrations. And, you know, when you hold all of them, you can sort of find that alignment and, you know, be able to see, like, oh, this is where I was coming out of alignment. And it was this that helped me get back in alignment.
Yeah, absolutely. And do I need to actually address all of those different parts? Well, if I do that, I'm never, you know, I guess it's kind of like all those people who focus on shadow work all the time and their lives are falling apart because where attention goes, energy flows. So they're poking at their shadows all the time. Guess what? Their life's a mess because they're playing with shadows. Now, the way I sort of look at it is, okay, which parts of this do I actually need to deal with? Which parts of the, you know, I can see all these different parts, but do I need to tinker with all of them? Because realistically, you know, a lot of them are just, okay, well, that happened. I can see why it happened. You know, I can see all these things. What bits do I need to change? And then I'm in choice. Okay, you know, if somebody calls me the B, you know, BITCH, if they use that word for me, if I take that on and I go, do you know what? In some scenarios, that actually really serves me. If I use that with the right people to put in the right boundary because they're crossing a boundary, and some people can only listen to that kind of language, actually, that serves me. I don't think I want to clear that or get rid of it because, in some ways, that serves me. Now, do I want to temper it? Of course, I do. Do I want to use it in the best way possible? Of course, I do. However, it is a skill that I don't want to get rid of. Because it can help keep people who do not understand boundaries at bay. And so there's these ways to love even the most unresourceful parts of us, which I think is magic. And that's where our power is, and that's where our self-mastery lies.
Right. You know, I mean, Amanda, I'm wondering if you can sort of, we went sort of two places, and I'm wondering if you can bridge these. One of just, you know, that really dark place you were at in this long relationship, and, you know, finding the courage and the power to see that as a springboard to get you out of that, and then how you were able to then come from a place where you could see all of it. And to be able to hold that, maybe like for those that may be in the depths and they're doing their own drudgery at the bottom of the barrel, like how, talk us through that.
Do you know, I think there is a certain amount of tenacity in there. There was just this, if I created that, I have to create something different. That determination to get better, that determination to be a better person, that determination to show my children better. There was all of these different areas of determination that really helped me. The other thing is, as much as people talk about nervous system hacks and this and that hack and the other hack and the, there is no shortcut to healing. We can heal quickly. We can heal wholly. We can become more whole. Yet, we have to do the work, otherwise, we are just bypassing. And you cannot bypass this because I tell you what, I've tried it, and you bypass stuff. If you don't go through it and feel it and truly heal it and move it through, and you bypass it, it will come out of nowhere and smack you down. And I don't, and it's not because it's not because the universe is vengeful. evil or mean, or that there's this God, you know, throwing lightning and thunderbolts at you. It is purely because that is your invitation to grow and evolve to your next level of consciousness, to your next level of authenticity. So it's more that these things will come up and you'll be like, oh, I'm back in that problem again. Okay, what do I want to do about it this time? Now, often I will go to somebody that I trust to help guide me through it because they can get a different perspective. If I came to see you as a healer, for example, you could see things from a different perspective because you've got a different life experience and you've got different modalities that you use and bring into your work. And so I would be going, darling, please help me. And you'd be able to go, well, this is what I see from my perspective. And I'll go, oh, yes. The reason my brain has let that little drop in to go, must go see you, is because it goes, she's got a little piece that's going to help you get to the next stage. And this is how I kind of work with the people that I work with. You know what? I'm really drawn to work with you. Don't know why, but I'm going to go and have a session, or I'm really drawn to work with you. Or, you know, I'll ring somebody and go, oh, that doesn't feel right.
Yeah,
that's also a really important part of it.
Yeah, that's so important to emphasize, because there's, especially now, I feel like we're in this time where there are so many gifted and skillful healers, if you will, or therapists or coaches or, you know, life people, all the names you want to give them that can help people. So it's so important to know that if you're in that dark place, that there's no shortage of resources. And even if for whatever reason you're not able to find it, it could even just be the time you spend putting your pen to paper and just writing through it can just be an outlet as well. And, you know, I think too, not only, I love that you said the mess that you created is the same creativity to create something new. And I think often right hand in hand with that is when you get to that point, when you realize that, that is your innate abundant nature, where you then realize like, wait, I have the resources to get me out of this. And, you know, whether that's finding someone else to hold that space while I travel that way, or it's that journaling, or, you know, it's, there's something just really, by doing the work, you really tap into a really rich resource that is hidden below that. And, you know, I really feel that in listening to your journey, that now even, you know, that brought you forth and discovering all these kinds of modalities. And I know, like, I'm so curious of all these ones. You have such a rich background of these healing modalities, and, you know, they go from archetypal life coaching, matrix therapies, and just, I mean, talk us like, for someone that was going to meet you for the first time, they're in that, you know, the dark night of the soul, like how do you kind of greet them or meet them and where they're at and work with them?
Do you know, every journey with a client is different. And I think that is one of the things that I absolutely love about it. But it's really one of the biggest things is finding out what people are actually wanting. Because when you ask them, what do you want? Most people, not all, but most will give you a whole list of things that they don't want. I don't want to feel sick anymore. I don't want to have poor sleep anymore. Okay, so what do you want? And it's like they can't compute that they're different questions. And so changing some of those don't wants into wants. So I want better health. I want to feel more vital. I want, you know, more abundance. I want to find love. Whatever it is, and getting them okay with having wants and needs, because a lot of us have had to suppress our wants and needs to be accepted in society and to be a good girl and to be a people pleaser and to, you know, live the life that we're told that we should live. So I listen a lot to the language that's being used. And then it's drawing from that toolkit that I have to go, what fits? Because realistically, let's face it, if I checked everything that I knew with every client, we'd be here for weeks. So it's going, part of it is intuition, part of it I use muscle testing, and it's sometimes it'll just drop in and it'll be that spark of, I have to do this process with this person to move them through this, and then, you know, we'll see what comes up next. But I look at it very much like, you know, the cliffs that you see near beaches, where it's just these, you can see the sedimentary layers. That's what we've all got within us. And some sessions will be able to clear half a dozen of those layers, and others we might be just sort of chipping away with an archaeological sort of, you know, brush and doing some fine tuning stuff. And then we might get in and, you know, put an explosive device in and blow a whole heap up. You know, it really depends on the person. But the main thing is, whilst they know all of the answers for their life and for their moving forward, my job is to draw that out of them and to work through what those barriers are for them hearing, seeing, feeling the answers for them, and helping to shift the traumas out of the body that are creating those blockages, so that it becomes, you know, this coherent energy waves instead of, you know, these big solid lumps in our energy field. It's like we're just combing it through and going, let's just get this harmony happening in your body. Let's stop all this stuff interrupting those signals.
Yeah. And so, the thing, yeah, I love about what you said, and I share this, a similar sentiment, which is, it's so important for our work to be empowering, to help them arrive to the conclusions and to help them get to those revelations, because then it truly does have a shift. And, you know, while there's certainly something to be said of, you know, having someone tell you like, oh, it's this or that, it can help, but it may not get to the layers like you talked about. It might just brush that top layer, and they might be like, okay, and that might be all that someone needs in that moment. But then when they come back, then they can, you know, get ready to go below. And so I just love that you really,
and it's not always those big aha moments. So much of healing is not the big aha moment. People want it to be, and I love when I get them. I think it's amazing. I still get excited by them. But a lot of the time it's not. It's these tiny little vibrational tweaks that we're doing that in 3, 4, 5 months' time, you're like, oh my God, I don't do those behaviors anymore. I didn't even recognize that I wasn't doing them because they're not there. And so self-reflection is a huge part of that journey as well, to make sure that we're able to actually notice some of those tiny tweaks, because often people give up the healing because they're not noticing those massive boom, aha, you know, fireworks and excitement. Well, you know what? If you're stopping some of your crappy, unresourceful behavior, you're doing the work.
Right. And being, you know, that's so important. And it's also another reason of having, you know, someone like you as a self-mastery facilitator to notice those things and to help celebrate and create awareness of those things, and then celebrate those things with the people you're serving. And I think too, just to, you know, add to that as we get close to wrapping up, is the fact that sometimes the insights and the healing continues to show and reveal itself much later after that initial aha, you know, and it could be through dreams. It could be, you know, you're out walking along the beach and you're like, oh my gosh, I see this. I'm seeing what I dreamt a couple of days ago, or, you know, I no longer have that fear walking in this crowd, or whatever it might be. And I think it's just, when it comes to working at that energetic level, and I know you're so familiar with that, it's truly humbling.
One of the big shifts I recognized, actually, which is kind of one of those massive shifts that I hadn't realized was such a massive shift until it didn't happen. My ex-husband used to drop the kids off at my front door, and I'd hear his voice and I would literally want to vomit. And then there was one day where I didn't feel that nauseous uprising in my, and I went, oh, that's really cool. Huh. And that was, it was so bizarre. But again, it wasn't this big, you know, fireworks and everything. It was just a, huh, awesome. I like that.
Yeah.
I've moved forward.
Yeah. It's, you know, in shamanic terms, you know, it feels like, you know, a power retrieval or a soul retrieval. And that moment where you are like, I no longer have that. Like even hearing you and seeing you talk about it, you just lit up, and it's just so powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah. You are such a beacon going through your life's work to right here and be of such greater service to humanity and helping people. And, you know, I like to ask as we wrap up, if you were to go back to the younger Amanda and, you know, that was a little more volatile and falling into patterns that perhaps she didn't know, what would be that piece of sage advice you would offer her?
It would actually be my, this is one of the things that I always think about. My intuition was always spot on with all of it. And I was so afraid of pleasing people who didn't have my best interests at heart, even when they said they did. And I would have just said to her, trust your intuition, but don't just trust it. So what I did, I would hear my intuition and then I would talk myself out of it and I'd be like, no, that's not true. And then later it'd come true and blah, blah, blah. It would be listen to it, trust it, and act on it.
Mm.
Because as much as I heard it, I didn't listen to it. I certainly didn't really go, I'm trusting this. And then I didn't act on it. And the more you act on it, funnily enough, the more you trust it.
And the stronger it becomes.
Yeah. That muscle is so important to build. And I always had it spot on. There's been very few things I've been wrong about in terms of my intuition. And that would have been the biggest lesson, I think. And everybody has it. It's not, you know, people think that those psychic abilities, that those skills are for, you know, the chosen few. All of us have them. So trust your gut. However you get that message, just, okay, let me listen to that. It's often a really quiet voice inside you that's just going, do this. You will not regret it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think one thing that I've tried to do, I mean, I'm a list person and by nature, I can't help myself, but when those little soft whispers come, I've learned to write them down. And I have a little place for them to write them down. And it's really reaffirming to go back and realize like, yep, to the point where, you know, working to expand that channel, you know, of, you know, the intuition is right and it can, you know, help me and it feels like it's getting deeper. Just how do you keep expanding that? And it's just, it's truly, everyone has it. And I just, I'm like, imagine, you know, these leaders, these politicians, these everything, if they could just soften themselves and trust that, like that inner knowing, gosh, it would be such a beautiful place.
Oh, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it?
Yes. Yes. Oh my gosh, Amanda, thank you. Thank you for this beautiful conversation. And thank you for doing this work. There's so such a need to have people like you that can be able to share your own life's work in a way that's just truly transformational and inspiring for others. And so thank you.
Oh, thank you, Erica. I'm so appreciative of you bringing your work to the world as well. So very much appreciate you.